Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments. My guest today is David Hancock. David is a Wall Street Journal, USA Today best-selling author, and the founder of Morgan James Publishing, based in New York. NASDAQ cites David as one of the world's most prestigious business leaders, and he's reported to be the future of publishing. As founder of Morgan James, he was selected for Fast Company magazine's Fast 50 for his leadership, creative thinking, and his significant impact on the publishing industry over the last 10 years. Well, David, it's good to be with us today. David Hancock's my guest. And David, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing absolutely incredible, Mike. Thank you so much for having me today. Enjoying this beautiful sun and happy to talk to you.
Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from our Newport News, Virginia office, the world of publishing around, no, not really. New York's the main space, but I'm calling from our Virginia office today.
Well, thanks for being on my podcast, because we call it small-time leaders, but it's actually big leaders who did small things.
And, awesome.
And you're going to get to share with a couple of those folks with us today. But before we start up, I'm always being thankful, so important. Can you share us one thing you're thankful for in your life or work right now before we move into your small-time leader?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm certainly thankful for my parents, both mom and dad. My father, who's now passed, did leave some really good nuggets of wisdom to me. I was a very active youth who liked to try a lot of things. And he finally cornered me one day and said, you know, you can do anything you want if you put your head to it, but not those things, you know, something like that. But he instilled to me that I had the confidence. If I had an idea, let's tackle it. And along with that, he shared with me his philosophy of putting my troubles in a pocket with a hole in it and not letting it bother me, addressing them, but not letting them bother me, and just continue to move forward. And I think those were very significant pieces of advice, but I'm grateful for those parents God gave me.
Oh, and that's the truth. A pocket with a hole in it. Yeah. All right. So tell us about your first, I know you know a lot of folks, but you're the one, you chose. Who's your first one?
I really had a hard time coming up because I had so many small moments in my career, as we probably all do, that were significant to me. But one that really ended up changing my life, I mean, more than anything else I could think of beside my parents, was J. Conrad Levinson, the father of guerrilla marketing. And it was beyond the book. I first discovered him in the early 90s in his book, Guerrilla Marketing, which was in its third edition by the time I discovered it. And by then, he had already sold 15 million copies, and I'd never heard of him or heard of guerrilla marketing. But when I discovered it, I realized that I was a success because I was a banker at the time. I was a success as a banker because I was doing unconventional things to gain conventional goals. I was leveraging more of my time, my energy, and my imagination, and using a little bit of Zig Ziglar mixed in there too of helping others realize their goals, which ended up making me, you know, a very successful banker. Uh-huh. But I was looking for more. And then when I discovered Jay, he basically taught me that everything I was doing was good, and not to stop because it's making an impact and working. But he shared one little nugget of wisdom that I almost missed, that when I realized what he said, I laughed out loud, hopefully not too disrespectful or not, but I just didn't see myself doing what he had suggested. But it was to write a book, as simple as that. And I was like, who am I to write a book? What in the world would anybody want from me? And, you know, I dropped out of college and barely passed high school. I was too busy chasing soccer balls and my current wife, or my now, whatever. But I just didn't see myself writing a book. But he was very patient, very loving. He said, you know, you're a success for a reason. You're doing things differently. You're helping others. And, you know, people want to know about that. So he encouraged me to put an outline together, and I did, and ended up writing the book. And that ended up being a stress reliever. And I ended up getting it published. And just that one thing actually literally doubled my income as a banker. Of course, you know, if I wanted to charge more and negotiate less, who doesn't, you know, especially in business? If I wanted to charge more and negotiate less, I had to become the authority in the space that people trusted and realized that I knew what I was talking about. And the book was very, very significant in that. also opening doors to other clients that didn't even know I existed until the power of the book brought me forward. Mm-hmm. Media regularly contacted me as the talking head. I was rather either interviewed in the newspaper or on radio or popped in on TV every now and then just to talk about what was going on in the banking business in the 90s, which was every day. It was amazing.
Oh, wow. How does that roll into what you're doing now and the work you're in? And
I know, publishing. Right? Yeah. So as a publisher, that really makes me know. Well, the truth being is that the book worked so significantly for me as an author that I became very passionate about the power of a book as one of the most significant guerrilla marketing weapons you can have in your arsenal as an entrepreneur, as a business person. Heck, even as a W-2 employee like I was, if you're selling anything, you need to have the authority to do it. Right. And I became very passionate about that and started to teach all my clients. Heck, if you got stuck in an elevator with me, I told you about the power of a book. And I ended up becoming very passionate about, you know, that part of that aspect. But all the while, still thriving as a banker. But publishing is broken. Publishing is not about relationship. Publishing isn't about our success as authors. It's about the publisher's success and the shareholders. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but the reality was it was very not fun, for lack of a better way to say it. Sure. And by my third book, I was so frustrated with publishing, not having any input in anything, and fighting over content. Like, for instance, in my second edition of Guerrilla Marketing for Mortgage Brokers, the publisher wouldn't let us use the word internet. And that was 1999. The internet was here to stay. So things like that, you know, just really frustrated me. And I could never sell enough books to make them happy. And so things like that, that just made me really frustrated. And nobody decided to fix publishing. So I thought that I could, entrepreneurial bliss. But I set out to, you know, to see if I could tackle becoming a publisher that had credibility and distribution and opportunity. You know, 17 years later, we've got it. But I really had nothing to offer except for, you know, really passionate idea about how the author needs to be involved in their book process and help the author succeed. Because any publisher would be a massive success if they help the author succeed more.
Right. That's Zig Ziglar coming back again.
That's right.
That underlying principle there of just helping other people get what they want and you'll get anything that you want. So
that's right.
So your publishing company is going well now. Well, I didn't tell you, I didn't even say in my intro that David is my publisher of my two books. And it's just been a pleasure meeting somebody in this publishing industry who stands for some values that I greatly admire, like serving and helping others. So if you're thinking about someone who's maybe not an entrepreneur, but how could they apply this principle that you got from Dave?
So really, it's pretty simple. It's all about taking ownership of your knowledge and your space. As salespeople of something, we're always selling something, whether it's our personality to get a wife or a spouse, or whether it's trying to get somebody to buy our widget or trust us with their finances or trust them, you know, down some sort of path. It's all about having that authority and living and acting like you know what you're talking about. You know, product knowledge is absolutely paramount when you're selling anything, and then being able to convey the wisdom or the ideas of what you're offering, whether you're working for a company or whether you're selling your widgets. It's all about that presence. That confidence is very key. And a book is one of the most powerful weapons you can have to immediately instills confidence in that you are the right person, saying the right thing at the right time, and hopefully to the right people. Yeah. So you may not see yourself as an author, you may not see yourself as needing a little extra edge, but it's an amazing tool. So think about it. Think about the things that you talk about when you're, you know, going about with your day job or your passion, your side passion, and start writing down the things that if somebody would sit down with you for just 15, 20 minutes that you'd love to get across before they ran away screaming. Yeah. Next thing you know, you'll have an outline for a book. And then as I did with my first book, as I felt led, I'd come home from the day stressed out and these things happened or these wonderful things happened or whatever. I would sit down and I would just kind of fill in the blanks on my outline. Yeah. And next thing you knew, I had a book. Now, I'm a crappy writer, I'll confess, blessed with Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller monikers, but I have a really great editor. So don't worry about the details. Just worry about filling in the blanks. We can always make it look better.
Well, thanks for sharing that because, you know, having written a couple of books and people ask me, how do you do it? And I want to write a book and everybody wants to write a book. But those little hints on how to get started, you know, the first step's always the hardest. So thanks for sharing that. And thanks for sharing this information, these insights that you got from your small time leader. And we'll just sign off here and I'll see you on Thursday.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control. But I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.